This is the Neds NRL Punting Podcast with Jarrell Yao Yi, Oscar Panifex, Liam Fogarty, and Jared Timms.
Just 6 weeks remain in the NRL regular season, and boy, things are starting to heat up. They are really starting to heat up in this room today. My name is Jared Timms. With me, Big Jarrell Yao Yi.
Oh, yeah, 6 weeks ago, baby. I love me some finals footy, especially when my team's in it. Not sure about you guys, but we're going to the finals.
Let's go.
Well, we better shut up, actually. Let's just come back down to earth a little bit because we did.
Rewind 12 months ago.
Shit, last year. Hey, we got Paddy this week. We got everyone back this week. It's just good to be a Broncos fan at the moment, and I cannot wait for finals footy, but we're pretty close.
Also with us this week, as he is every single week, a man who's clearly taking all the "who's man bun" comments to heart because he's got it out this week. The hair is out, Oscar Panifex.
He's got what out this week?
Yeah.
Yes, the man bun comments got to me, keeping me up at night.
Yeah. So it's working for me. I'm a big fan.
Thank you, mate. Yeah. I was a little bit nervous. It's my hair out debut on the potty, but thank you for the compliments.
Yeah, I like it. The cord hat, everything. Thank you. That's coming with... You're here. You're just so beautiful.
Oh, we're going for a surf after this.
Yeah. Cowbunga dude.
Bro.
And finally, I met this bloke's dad at Splendor in the Grass on Saturday, and I know for sure now he's at best, the second best Fogarty. Liam is here at the desk with us this week.
Didn't just meet dad. You met the entire extended family.
I did, actually. I met your sister. I met your fiance. I met... Jamal
did not make it, unfortunately. Darcy Fogarty, the Adelaide Crows, also wasn't there. But almost every other Fogarty on earth was at Splendor in the Grass.
Did you see my dad? Did you find him there?
No, I
did.
Was looking.
I've been keeping an eye out everywhere, actually.
So have I. Don't worry. 33 years. We're still looking for you, dad.
You did see a few Broncos getting around the traps on Saturday,
Bumped into a few Broncos. Paddy Carrigan, Jordan Rickey, Tristan Saylor, and our mate Jesse Arthurs was there.
Boom.
Kind of gave him a bit of a spray for not scoring, and he deserved it. No, he absolutely did not.
Absolutely so glided. And then don't lie to the punters.
Just after that happened, I think your leg also fell over in the multi.
Yeah, good on the Melbourne Storm, man.
Yeah, Storm, who loses to the Knights these days?
Well, that came a bit Christian Welsh in the ass, didn't it, when he made that comment?
They kept their receipts, didn't they?
Oh, didn't they? Well, I reckon they would have played that during the week in their team meetings.
Oh, bang on, yeah.
That's definitely what they would have played. Yeah, it just shows. You just got to be careful. There's mics everywhere.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's get into it. The Dragons take on the Seagulls in round 22, and it's your man DCE's 300th game.
Yeah, wow. This is pretty cool, isn't it? I mean, this will really be, in the space of a year, this will be three of my really good mates, playing 300 games. And, yeah, I brought out I did a little bit of research, actually, boys.
And I love it.
Yeah, I went through the career that sort of that Daly's had.
2011 NRL debut, of course.
Well, let me just rattle this very, very quickly for you. Manly Seagulls, Rookie of the Year 2011. Yep. RLPA Rookie of the Year 2011. RLIF Halfback of the Year 2011. Dally M Rookie of the Year in 2011 for Dally M's. Grand Final winner in 2011.
Yep.
Manly Seagulls Members Player of the Year 13. Manly Eagles Player of the Year 2013. Clive Churchill Medalist 13. Grand Final Runner-Up. That's where he won, the Clive Churchill. Mm-hmm. Obviously, RLIF Halfback of the Year in 13. State of Origin Series winner in 13. World Cup winner 13. Dally M Halfback of the Year 14. Spirit of the Anzac Medal in 15. State of Origin winner 15. Manly Seagulls Best and Fairest 17. State of Origin winner 20, 22, 23. Manly Seagulls captain, obviously, from 2017 to present. Queensland Maroons captain from 19 to present. Australian Kangaroos vice captain in 2019. RLPA general president 2021 to present as well. Not only that, 299 games. Queensland Maroons 22 games. 18, which are most consecutive of a Queensland record.
Wow.
Australian Kangaroos 18 games. Prime Minister's 13-2 and Australian 9-4.
Okay. That's a fair resume.
Man of Jarrell Yao Yee's heart, 2011.
Yeah, I got a bit of a crush. I got a bit of a crush on him. Oh, no, honestly, I've actually played a lot of footy against him growing up. He was a bit of a late bloomer, obviously. Didn't sort of crack onto the scene until a little bit later in his career.
And he was Sunny Coast based, wasn't he?
He's a Redcliffe Junior.
Redcliffe, okay.
Right. So, there was conversations with him about, and I could talk about it now, but there was conversations with him when he hadn't signed with Manly what a moment that would be if it was to go full circle and him go back to Redcliffe.
Wow.
To the Finns. So never happened. He'll be a Manly Seagull for life, which I think is amazing. Mm. And I believe he will be either the second.
Just the second.
The second because.
300 games.
Well, because yeah. only the reason because Steve Menzies, when they merged, they didn't give him the 60 games.
You know, this morning when we were doing Unpopular Opinions, Jarrell said, got an idea for a topic to talk about on the podcast today. Is it a rort when players like Steve Menzies can't count themselves as 300 games for the club because.
Yeah, he's played 244 for Manly and 60, I think, maybe.
It was a little bit more than that. I think it was 260 games or 280 games or something
and 44
for the Seagulls for Northern Eagles. Yeah.
So the merger.
Should
so
count.
It should count, but the NRL have put their foot down and they're not letting it, which I think it's taken the piss. Steve Menzies is one of the greatest players to ever play our game.
Absolutely.
He's part of the 500 club, isn't he?
He is part of the 500 club. I've managed to sit next to him on a bus for a very long period of time, and it's funny how weird and awkward he is like me. So, it's cool to see another Manly great like Daly, and he is a great. He'll go down to be a great in the game with all those stats. Reach at the 300 and still got another 2 years.
Yeah, well, he will. Cliffy Lyons is the only one ahead of him now, 309 games. So
he'll go past that.
Well, if Manly, they'd have to have a run in the finals. They'd have to make a grand final.
Yeah, well, Tommy Turbo's back week two, isn't it?
Yeah, which is on. The $301 about him in the premiership market at the moment. That might be a bet.
I won't be taking that bet.
301 games,
with all those nice stats that I've given him, I won't be taking them at $300 to one.
You going down to the game then?
Probably not. I'm not going to.
Don't love him that much.
I don't love him that much. Enough. I've got too much stuff up here to worry about.
And it's in Wollongong too. Boo. No.
Yeah. He's playing actually my other little mate, Ben Hunt.
Who also did the 300. There's some sort of bet in this, isn't there?
Yeah.
Well,
maybe not.
I was going to say, if you can find a way to get.
I don't think there is, Jared.
Hunt and DCE into a multi that's paying $300, then maybe it's
a couple of any time try scorers might be a bit of a look there, though.
Why let you guys touch that?
I think one of the best things I saw a tweet about Daly Cherry Evans yesterday talking about how possibly the only blemish on his career in terms of off the field, I mean, on the field, he's been elite and a very clean and, you know,
he's
respected player. Yeah, sure, but
hanging out with you.
I think the one and only blemish on his career is that whole backflip deal with the Titans, which, I mean, how many players that have played in the game for that long can say that they've, you know, like his reputation is up there with some of the best.
Well, he never wanted, like, I can vouch for him when I say this. He never wanted to leave Manly. That wasn't what he wanted to do. But then, obviously, Bobby Fulton, you know, came back to the club and, you know, gave him that opportunity to stay. Mm. And it was the right thing to do because, I mean, he's not only going to be this player and play that many games for his club and captain this club, but he'll go on and he'll have a career after his footy at that club. He'll probably coach this club. Mm. Like, let's be honest, like he's probably going to be either one of the next Queensland coaches or he'll coach and then he'll go on to coach Manly for many, many years, I'd say.
Has he earned a statue? A Manly statue, you reckon?
Well, I mean, look, if Cliffy Lyons is, you know, up there and Daly surpasses him and becomes this guy, I think so. Mm. And I'm not saying that because he's a mate of mine. All the research I've just done and all that stuff that I've just read, it's a pretty good career.
Yeah.
I'd take it for sure.
Like, I mean, I and this is out of the utmost respect to the other boys that I went to 300s for, but I don't think they have the decorated career as Ben and Macca. So you become an elite group of 46 or something players that ever become 300. Yeah. And those stats that I just rattled off, it's a very cool career and he's still got two to go.
Cannot wait for this game.
I can't
it's
either.
It's
like,
absolutely and I can tell you, I am going to back him anytime tries. I'll go for the two or the three.
And you know what? It's weird. It's weird to do this because I, you know, obviously backed Ben earlier in the year to beat the Cows up there, but I think it's going to be 13 plus.
Do you?
I really do. The way they started on the weekend, Manly, obviously fell into a bits in the second half.
Yeah. Wins a win, who cares?
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. You win them, but geez.
Yeah.
By the. That's just the skin of their neck, like just close enough. But I think they're gonna get up. I think they're gonna make it a pretty big deal for him down there.
Absolutely. All right, well, Bulldogs skipper Raymond Faitala-Mariner has been told by the club that he's free to explore options elsewhere despite having two more years on his contract. He was only given the captaincy at the start of this season, and by all accounts, this has nothing to do with him. Him and his manager are absolutely perplexed by this,
by all reports.
Does this underline that there is really, really deeper problems at the Bulldogs than perhaps just their playing?
I don't think it's a deeper problem for the Bulldogs. I think it's deeper problems for the NRL and how, like, when a player does this and wants to go, like, let's go to the Ben Hunt situation.
Yeah.
But when a club does it, everyone's just like, meh.
Everyone says he's sooking at training. Yeah, he's got a bad attitude.
Exactly. Mm. So I think it's a G up. Like, you can't just, you sign a contract. Like, if you want to, if they want to sign these contracts and then make players accountable for them, then, you know, don't. It's got to go both ways.
Yeah.
It has to go both ways. So I think it's a G up because we're not hearing much about, you know, it's not huge news.
Mm.
You know that he's like, oh well, we're going to let him go. You know, we've let him go to the open. Yeah, I don't like what's going on at the Bulldogs at the moment. They're sort of starting to, they need players back to start playing good footy again. Yeah. But it's weird to see where they're going with something like this.
It feels to me like they've regressed this year. Of a team that has signed well on paper and they should be at least moving a little bit forward from a really bad year last year. Terrible.
Yeah, I talked about this when I did those power rankings a couple of weeks ago. I think they've been hamstrung by injuries, particularly in the forward pack. Yeah. Obviously, Kikau missing pretty much the whole season. Luke Thompson hasn't made it onto the field. Raymond Faitala-Mariner, who 2 or 3 years ago, he was one of the best back rowers in the comp when he was running off Kieran Foran. He's been plagued by injury, and when he's been fit, they've played him through the middle. I think, Cameron Serrato's probably got to take a little bit of responsibility for their form, but I do think there are excuses there as well.
Mm, absolutely. Have you got anything?
Are they going to come good, you reckon? Or
Well, they've had a habit over the last 3 years of finishing seasons well. Once the pressure and the fatigue of a season is kind of, you know, once it gets to a point where they're done, they can go, all right, let's enjoy the last 6 weeks.
And yes, they have injuries, but you can't, that's not how you, is that what they're going to be remembered for every year? Because what will happen is everyone will forget if they play the last 5 weeks mad, everyone will go, oh, well, geez, they finished pretty well.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But you can't, like as a fan base and as people who are invested in that club, you can't keep doing that every year. So, hopefully they get some troops back and do finish the world year, but they need to start. They need to come out of the blocks next year.
Yeah, I think they need to figure out what their backline's going to look like, and they need to spend the next 6 weeks preparing for that. They've got Crichton coming. They've got Cherry coming. Averillo's leaving, which is a shame because, God, he's been their best player all year, hasn't he? He was so good again on the weekend. So, yeah, I think that's what they've got to figure out. What does their backline look like? What does their spine look like? I mean, why was Reid Marnie playing 13 off the bench last week? Mm. I heard he might have had an injury or he had a virus or something. But, you know, I mean, if he's fit enough to play, play him where he's, you know, what's his position? He's one of the best hookers in the game when he's
well,
fit.
They bought him for that reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that,
but I suppose this is what happens. When you get pressure as a coach, you start making really silly decisions. And not silly at the time for you as a coach, you just need to win.
Mm.
So you got to go, oh, we got to move, we got to change. Like, I've seen it with the best of them. Like, honestly, coaches, they freak out, man.
Mm.
They freak out. Just relax, guys. Gosh.
All right, well, the NRL and NRLW Grand Finals have been confirmed to be in Sydney again this week. They've just signed on for a one-year deal. Gerald, question for you. How good is it that the deciders are back? Damn it, I was trying so hard to keep a straight face then. I was going to say to you, how good is it that the deciders are being contested in the true heartland of rugby league again this year?
And you know what?
Damn it, I'm so close.
Where it belongs.
But the funny
He's
fact
just
that
staring at me in the eyes, I couldn't do it.
The fun fact that you even laughing and trying to say that is really funny. Look, we know, we don't even have to explain where the rugby league heartland is.
Yeah.
We know we've put on a show a couple of years. I don't hate that it's going back to Sydney. I'm not against it.
Yep.
I'm not against it. But I do like the chat that we've had earlier in the year about whoever wins Origin gets the grand final.
Because that
would be cool. Because obviously then you get a bit of a leg up. You want to play. You know, a lot of the players who play in Sydney want to play in Queen. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think it's the end of the talking point because Peter Volandi's a businessman.
It's just going to happen every year, isn't it? He's just going to play the two governments off against each other.
Well,
sign 1 year at a time.
I don't think it's going to, by the way, the looks of how the Origin has become as a product, taking it to other states. I reckon the grand final's not far away from that.
Yeah.
Because it'll just be whoever's got the most money, they'll go, all right, we'll take it. Because we know Peter Volandis loves making money.
Yeah.
And he hid $28 million of it from the players. Well, not him personally, but the NRL did. But I'm just saying, I think we're going to see more of it get moved around the country.
Yeah.
And that is unfortunate at times, but I think as a grand final, it gives opportunity for the game to be shown. I think Origin needs to stay in New South Wales and Queensland. That's what I think. But if we're looking at a bigger picture, I think we need to take the game elsewhere if it is a grand final, because we know people will travel. If you're a fan, say you're a Broncos fan, you're going to travel no matter where the grand final is.
Yeah. Yep.
You're a Manly fan, you're going to travel wherever the
absolutely,
grand final is.
Absolutely, yeah.
So I don't think it's a different story with that. Yeah, they probably need to look at it, but I don't mind that it's back in Sydney now.
I think New Zealand is a really viable option for an NRL grand final as well.
It's a really good shout.
After speaking to some Kiwis last week when they came and visited us, Liam, I didn't realise how like sickeningly into it they were.
I tell you this right now, when we used to go there as a Broncos, we are rock stars, bro.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy to think. I never knew anything about it. Even when I was playing 20s.
Yeah.
We were getting treated. We were going clubbing afterwards. We were getting bottle served. And we were just 20s, under 20s players.
Yeah, right.
So they
that was
loved,
a fair 20s team that you had there.
It was a pretty gun, yeah. Pretty gun side. It's fair to say that rugby league in Auckland is, it's flying. It's massive.
They cracked the same jokes about union being boring like we do. Like, it was just, I didn't expect it at all. Yeah.
Yeah, just wrap the whole thing up, would you?
Big following, yeah. But the NFL take the Super Bowl all around the country.
Yep.
I don't see why we can't take the NRL all around the place either.
Yeah, I don't hate it, honestly. Right. I think it's just where you got to take it and make sure that you can hold the people, you know, and make sure you can put on a show.
Yeah.
You don't want to send it somewhere shit that's got no, you know, capacity.
Homebush.
You know, like, it's just not the way it should be.
Yeah.
If they're going to do it properly, they need a plan. A year in advance or 2 years in advance at least.
Yeah.
So people know and they can get the city ready, like an Olympics.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Like the Melbourne. Oh, no, sorry. No, the Commonwealth Games.
Oscar, we are around into the NRLW season.
God.
Very keen to hear your take on how it all went last weekend.
Yeah, well, I had the dual screen going on the weekend.
Did you?
Ooh, yeah, nice. Had the men's on one screen and the women's on the other. Really enjoyed
it. Well, watch
the
footy?
I watched the footy, yeah.
Yeah, then we got the league on.
Really enjoyed having the NRLW back out to 10 teams this year. There's been some rhetoric around it maybe being too soon and it thinning the talent pool a little bit. From what I saw, I don't think it's going
to
be too much of an issue.
It had to happen, though.
Yeah, it does.
It's got to happen.
Yeah. There are going to be some teams that are better than others. That's the same case as we've got in the NRL.
Yep.
I thought the quality overall was excellent. Mm. Another big step up as it's done consistently over the last 3 years.
It's crazy. Like, I was watching the games, Lloyd. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I never...
It's becoming normalised.
Like in the nicest way possible, and I love everything that the women's games become. I didn't think that when I first came in because the quality wasn't amazing.
Yep.
Yeah.
I was sitting there watching. I was like, this is awesome. I get to watch this game. And then there's another footy game on after this.
Yep.
It's just like, oh my gosh.
A lot to sink your teeth into, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's a bit of footy there. Yeah. I don't know where you're going with that, but anyway.
The biting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, stop
well
it.
Well played.
Oh, great segue.
Well what about played.
I've missed that entirely.
You are welcome. One of the young Broncos.
Ellie Werder, I believe the name is.
Yes.
Sent off on debut for biting.
Wow.
Yeah,
on debut as well.
I will say this. I watched a replay a fair few times. Not sticking up for her, but I think when you get put in a really vulnerable position, your first reaction is to open your mouth
because
you can't breathe.
Yeah.
Not saying that she had a lot of pressure, but I reckon that's the fact that they'll stay in the, you know, when they go to the judiciary. But, it was – you do get scared. And I suppose if these girls haven't been in those positions a lot and know how to handle that, know how to get your chin out or anything like that, not saying any of these boys are UFC fighters, but I'm just saying they've played it for a longer period of time so they understand how to – I think we've only ever really had one bite. Who was
James
that?
James Graham. Billy Slater's ear in the 2012 grand final.
And that wasn't getting... I don't think Billy's ear was suffocating his mouth.
I think he was
pretty hungry, and we all know that James Graham loves the beer and food.
In what way were you one of Billy's buddies back when you had something to do with him?
You got to bite the ear to assert dominance.
Whoa.
No, but it was a good, great weekend of NRLW.
It was awesome. I think I learned a lot. We were heavy on the Roosters. I talked about talked them up last week. They showed why they should be premiership favourites. I think they've come in to $2.50 already.
And what about all the celebrations from the girls?
Man,
they had them ready.
Much better.
They had. I was thinking to myself, have they done more training in this than they've done all of them? Because they were outstanding. Well,
they had some girls on the commentary, and some of the girls are current players, and they confessed that there's a fair bit of time at training practicing the try celebrations. Did you see the limbo one?
Yeah.
The try scorer scored.
Yeah,
all time. So
I just couldn't imagine. Like, I just see the boy, obviously the boys go, they're just thinking on the spot, you're right. They're all thinking in their head, because if you go to training and do you're it. Trying to talk to each other about what you're going to do, you get sprayed.
Yeah.
You know, so they're...
Did you ever do anything elaborate like that? Or?
Oh, not really, because... I grew up with, like, my center was Hodjo, so you couldn't really do anything wrong because he would just spray you. I think
he'd do it himself anyway.
I think when I started getting a bit more established, I would always hit the Broncos, you know, emblem.
Yep.
And I would get piss taken about me about that. I think
Fans love that.
Yeah, I know, but I played Origin, actually. I kicked the ball when Minicello dropped it and I scored off that. I play a lot of FIFA. So all I could keep saying to my friends when they were on the sideline is, like, I was mouthing them FIFA. Hodjo collared me and goes, get back in the corner. I was like, okay.
Do the salmon or something.
Like, I was like, man, I'm just trying to enjoy myself.
He was a fun bloke during his footy career. Was like,
what a boring bloke, like, honestly. He was the fun thing.
All right, so is there anything to look forward to in week two that you've underlined?
Yeah, well, the West Tigers, we talked about them last week being longest
odds. Better than $31, I told you. 100%.
Jared, I'll give you your flowers. They were dominant in yardage. Mm. They ran for over 700 more metres than the Eels did.
Wow.
Eels lost Elsie Albert, who's their best prop, and Rachel Pearson, their halfback, before that game. So there's a little bit of an excuse there for Parramatta, but the Tigers rolled through the middle. They started with Emily Curtin in the halves. She's only a 19 or 20-year-old young halfback.
Yep.
The attack was pretty clunky through her on the left edge, but when Losana Lutu came on, I've spoken about her before. She was the lock for the under-19s Blues Origin side a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I said this last week, she will be the next big thing in the NRL. Mm. The tempo that she plays with, and I wrote a piece for the Neds blog that will drop tomorrow, so have a look out for that. But the tempo she plays with just pulled the Parramatta defensive line apart. She was dropping underneath, faking to the lead runner, throwing out the back. She had 3 or 4 try involvements in 18 minutes when she finally got on the field.
Wow.
They were winning 8-4 when she got on the field, and 18 minutes later it was 36-4 or something like that. So... keep a lookout for Losana.
I can't say I watched that game because just thinking of West Tigers and Parramatta, like just like mentally thinking about that and watching it. What I mean. I would never watch that. So that's why I didn't watch that one.
No, the Tigers are going to be a good watch this year with Lutu in the halves. The Roosters were really strong. Mm. I was very keen on their left edge. I talked about Taryn Aiken, Amber Hall and Isabel Kelly last week.
Yep.
But it was actually their right edge through Jocelyn Kelleher and Jess Sergis, who were really, really strong. They scored 4 tries on their right edge last week.
Wow.
And then the other big talking point for me was Emma Tonegado moving into the 5'8 position for the Sharks. She killed it. She looked so much better than I thought she would. She scored a classic try where she just dummied around through the middle, but she was sweeping over to the right edge in the second or third layer of block shapes. She looked very, very good. So, plenty to look out for in the NRLW.
Yeah, looking forward to watching that again this
As
weekend.
A really established sevens player, though, surely Tonegado is at home in the 5'8 position.
Yeah, she's definitely got the skill set for it. Yeah. It was just whether she had the tempo and the organisational skills and the timing and the little pre-pass movements, like the difference between throwing a pass before, you know, straightening up for 1 or 2 steps, just those little intricacies.
Yeah.
But yeah, she looked right at home. So good to see for the Sharks.
Yeah, and good for hopefully New South Wales next season as well. Nice bit of depth in those halves. Shut up, giraffe.
Guys, just let Origin go, all right? It's gone.
Gonna start with you here, Liam. Okay. Who's the most overrated player in the NRL today?
Overrated? I'm Tommy Turbo, I'm gonna say.
Shut up. Give us an actual answer.
That'll hurt him a lot.
Yeah, I know.
Tell you who the most overrated player on this panel is bloke. I mean, not player.
I was gonna say he ain't no player.
I'm trying to think now.
Jarrell, who did you say? Yeah. You said
I thought this one would hurt. This one's gonna hurt a lot of people.
Yeah.
When I thought of it, but you know, he's definitely at the moment, I think, overrated because of what he produced last year, and that's Nico Hines.
Whoa.
Wow.
Say that.
Yeah.
There you go.
And the other thing is, like,
I didn't even consider him at all. And then as soon as you said that this morning, yeah. I'm like, oh, yeah.
And you know what? I've got so much time for Nico.
Yeah.
Like, I think he's a great person.
Yep.
But if we're talking about, you know, this year and what you got to produce, because what he produced last year, I mean, we talk about him in very high esteem.
Yep.
So that's why I thought, you know.
He's had the bar high for himself.
Well, yeah, 100%. Yeah. So, you know, and we talk, you know, they talk about him in pretty high esteem in commentary as well. But I just think right now he's overrated. And that'll, like I said, it's going to hurt a lot of people because he's a great person. But that's just my opinion.
I reckon it's Reece Walsh, honestly. Leads the league in errors overall, handling errors.
But also yeah. leads the league in line break assists. And he's up there with try yeah. assists as well.
No, okay, I want to hear your explanation.
The point that I'm making here is I reckon you throw a cutout pass or you step a bloke a couple of times in a game and all of a sudden everyone thinks you're the best player in the league. He is potentially one of the best players in the league. But let's face it, he doesn't get a run in Origin if Kalen Ponga comes back, doesn't get a head knock, and is fit the entire year this year.
I don't know. I don't know. With that one, I think it's very tight.
I don't think it is.
I think it's close.
Okay.
I think it's very close. Because that means Kalen Ponga would have had to come back in the fullback position playing out of his skin. Mm. And do you think he would have been playing better than Reece Walsh at the start of the year?
Mm.
I don't think he would have.
I think he would have.
That's your opinion.
Yeah, yeah. I think
he's a far more mature, seasoned player, and I think that would have shown if he was in full fitness.
I would have said he's overrated if it was his first year because we don't know what he's going to produce. But yeah. I think with the years that he's had now, one with the Warriors, and he looked very similar with them, I think the only way is up. I don't think he's going backwards.
Yeah, well, I agree with that. I think the only way is up, but I don't think he's achieved anything yet, so I think he's overrated.
Wow.
He gets a lot of airtime.
Well, he's the Bieber of our game.
He lets his Justin team Bieber down all the time. I remember he missed the last two games because he just opened his gob on the field.
I'm not even going to
respond. The amount of times he hits the ball at pace and just drops it, it's why he's leading the competition in errors.
He's boom or bust, which I'd say that meets him in the middle. So is that perfectly rated?
So he's a wildly mediocre player by that reasoning then?
Well, no, because he's all like... You've got me talking. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I wouldn't call him. I think you just said he's not the best player in the game. I don't think he's the best player in the game, but I disagree with your take there. Okay. He can do things that no other fullback.
Shut up, man. Oh, he doesn't have it.
Yes. No man bun.
Damn it.
Shut up, sexy locks.
He can do things out the back of shape. That pass, that cutout pass that he throws.
It's so hard to do.
He threw it for Cobbo to score on South. He threw it for Cobbo for the Maroons in games one and two. His ball playing is elite. I think he was overrated at the start of the year based on what he did for the Wars. Mm. But I think he's a much more complete player now. His pass selection's improved. He's busy in yardage. He's come up with some one-on-one try savers. Yeah. I agree with your take, though, about Nico Hines.
Mm.
I think we need to remember it's Nico's second season as a halfback ever.
Yeah.
Like, look at the other halfbacks in the comp who are in their second year, albeit maybe a little younger, but we give them some excuses for, you know, learning their game. And I think that loss on Sunday to the Seagulls from Cronulla, I think that was a good example of Nico still developing as a halfback. Like he was so busy. He tried so hard to his own detriment eventually. He was touching the ball four times a set, running both sides, throwing passes, offloads, everything. Mm. Whereas a more established, experienced halfback would have kicked to the corners, built the pressure, played the game, played the long game.
That's just my opinion, though. Mm. You know, that's my opinion. And like I said, not a lot of people are going to like it because he is such a nice guy and he's very well liked in the whole of the competition of what he does on the field and what he does off the field. But that's just what I think when you've asked me that question earlier. And I'm sick of running down Mitch Moses.
Yeah. Well, I think it was another thing that we said, wasn't it? He was just a very, very easy target in 2022, but I reckon he's come back to the pack.
I've got a name.
Go.
Chad Townsend.
Yeah, okay, all right.
I think that he's very blessed with the pack that the Cowboys have, and I think you could put any halfback at the Cows and get in the same position. Sort of production.
Is he rated that highly, though? See, I reckon he would have been overrated when he was at the Sharks for that reason that you've just said there. Yeah.
All right, sorry, boys.
No, that's good. We're just trying to get a bit of bloody healthy.
So yours is Walsh.
Yeah, mine is overrated.
Did you say one?
Yeah.
Who do you reckon?
Yeah, Nico. I think Nico as well. Yeah, only because like his potential and his ceiling is so high, but you know he's not consistent week to week, not producing consistently week to week like we rate him.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
Two articles for you on the Neds blog this week. Busy and boy. Moving forward, how good the other one
Return of the specialist centre. Right, now, yes. I've said this a few times, but this is legitimately one of my favourite articles that you've written. Thank because
you, oh, shut
some
up, of my Jared.
wait, the Glazers.
Tell me, why. Is it because I highlighted five New South Wales players accidentally?
I didn't. That's not a reason, but that's point. That's a nice little side note. No, some of my favourite players ever have been specialist centres. Mark Gasnier, Andrew Ettinghausen. Justin Hodges? No, just kidding.
Great. Well, he was. GI.
Yeah. Who have you zeroed in on here?
Well, it was inspired by that ridiculous try assist that Zach Lomax produced for Ravalawa on the weekend. He beat about four guys.
Four, yeah.
Turned him inside. He bounced off. Junior Tupou jammed on him. He brushed off that tackle, went inside, went outside. It was absurd.
He's really reined in that flick pass, hasn't he, in the last, 3 months.
Like, picking his moments.
He's picking his moments, and that was the perfect moment for him to do it. And they needed to win that, like Dragon. So, yeah, it was a great try. They said they don't want him. He's showing the reason why they should keep him around.
Yeah, well, the stories at the moment are that Flanagan's spoken with Lomax and convinced him to stay. And by these performances over the last 2 weeks, I dare say Flanagan's been giving him some coaching tips too. Mm. We talked about Zach playing on potential for a long time on the podcast last week. His last two games, he's run for over 400 metres. He's scored three tries, set up another two. His defence has been better. He's been hungrier. He's been in games. And like you said, I think he's picking his moments a little bit more. Yeah. That flick pass, like whether it's behind the back of the defender or just in front of him, like that's one of the most repeatable actions in the NRL. You put him one-on-one with his man, he's going to beat his man every time, draw in the wing and get that pass away.
Yep.
But we just don't see the Dragons build towards that action often enough, I don't think.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably because of his mishaps early in the year.
Yeah, maybe.
That probably makes, nerve-wracking to give him too much
ball. Like the game
plan, give him the game on the line.
Yep.
Because you're right, he has to pick his moments. Even if that is 5 minutes to go, don't need to score that set, but setting up to, score the try with a quick play of the ball for him because he thinks, and I've met him, he's a great kid, but he's all confidence.
Yeah, yeah.
He plays with confidence. So he feels like he has to do the big moments to be that guy to get those confidence to play better. So if he does stay around, if Ben stays around and they can get, something a little bit more out of him in consistency of how he plays his game, I think we've always – he's a big body. He's a good footy player. You just need to get the right footy out of him.
He's only 23.
Yeah, what I mean.
Which surprised
me.
We've been talking about him for a long time.
Well, he still obviously debuted at 19.
That'll help, yeah.
So I'm excited to see what he does next year under Shane. I think it could be a big season for Zach. Next up was Brabham Best. I was the first one to admit I wasn't expecting his selection in game three, but his form over the last month has been superb. One of the best centres in the game at the moment.
And that's what happens when you go into Origin camp.
Bit of confidence.
A lot of confidence. Yep.
He's had a lot of errors in his game early on in his career, but I feel like he's tidied them up. Jackson Hastings done a great job of bringing him into the games this year, giving him early ball. And that little flick pass that he threw, similar to Zach Lomax, to get Greg Marju over on the weekend.
Yep.
If he can develop that pass consistently, God, he's going to be a handful.
He's like another guy. He's not tall, massively tall, but he's just his center of gravity and the way he runs, and he's hard to tackle.
Well, you need to put two in the tackle.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's why the winger gets nervous.
Yep.
And that's why they come in all the time.
Yeah, so I've loved what Bradman's been doing. He was integral to the Newcastle Knights' upset win over the Storm last week. Katoni Staggs, a guy who I think was unlucky not to get a look in for Origin this year. He's playing so much better than he was last year when he got picked for the Blues. Defensively, I think is where he's improved the most this season.
Yep.
The missed tackle numbers, they don't really show it, but you need to be in a position to miss a tackle. So sometimes it's not the best indication of someone's defensive improvements. I think he's making better reads in the line. Yeah. The Broncos have conceded, I think, the third least amount of tries down that right edge this year, and they've scored the most points of any team in the comp on that right edge. And he's been a big part of it.
Oh, man.
He tore up
the bones. Powerful.
Yeah.
He is so powerful, and he's got that play in him, he's got that pass in him as well if he needs to, which is tough because it really draws in a winger because you don't want your center one-on-one with him. Like it showed over the weekend.
Isaac Tascop.
He'll put a hole in
his
chest.
Pulled down.
He won't step. He'll try to run over you, and that's just how he's always played his footy. He's just getting bigger and thicker too. Like man,
dangerous.
It's getting nice. It's love me a big thick boy.
Yeah. No, he's playing really good footy. He's going to be a big part of the Broncos premiership push this year.
Loves toes too.
Isaac Tungo didn't. Yes, he does. Katoni Stags. Isaac Tungo didn't play last week. He's injured, but I mean, his form this year has just been ridiculous. I think he's probably got the highest ceiling out of all the guys I've just mentioned. But you the reckon? Most important, well, I mean, maybe you could make an argument for it, but I think the most important part is he's got the highest floor out of all those guys.
Like, imagine Tago and Bradman Best in the centres next year and Luttrell at the back.
Is he New South Wales?
He is, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. I mean, I don't want to. Yeah. I don't want to imagine
that's shut up. That's like licking Campbell Graham together, you know. Like, oh, yeah. Sorry about Campbell, yeah.
Yeah, Tungo, like, he's just so consistent. Like, there's so little between his worst game and his best game.
Yep.
He can play in the wing. He can play on the wing. He can play in the back row if you need him to. He's only 21 years old.
Wow. Mm.
That's the thing that wears me out about Tungo. That is a high ceiling. Like, Lomax, Stags, Brabham Best, the same age. They've all shown what Tungo's done at this age, but none of them have been as consistent as Isaac has.
I've noticed that in this era too. A lot of centres were older guys back, you know, 5-10 years ago. They weren't guys who were young.
Yep.
A lot of centres now are getting, you know, blooded very young earlier to play centre.
Yep.
Where it used to be the winger that was getting getting pushed in young at a young age because it was so called an easier position to play. I love that our centres, we're going to see these guys for 10-12 years playing those positions, because that means the game's going to change. They're going to have to change with it. Mm. We're going to see so much more good footy out of our centres.
I reckon that's the GI effect. All these kids have grown up watching Greg, being like, I want to be like him, and have grown up playing centres.
Not a bad shout.
Now we're seeing what's become.
Because there was a period there for like 3 or 4 years where centres just went missing. Yeah. They were being used as a decoy runner.
Yeah.
Right.
Or clubs were playing back rowers in the centres.
Yeah.
And I wrote about this in the blog. I think the six again era, the defensive lines are getting so compressed around the ruck because ruck speeds have increased. So defensive lines are folding in, which means there's more space on the edges. And the best teams are the ones that can compress the ruck and shift out wide to the space. And you need a good centre. You need a centre who can put a kick in, who can draw and pass to his winger, who can beat a man one-on-one. Yep. So they've got to be so skillful and versatile. And I think Tungo is probably the pick of the bunch when you consider how young he is. And then I gave a shout-out to Campbell Graham as well, who I think doesn't have the highlight reel, probably the upside of those other four guys I've mentioned. But
he does everything so well.
He does. He's so reliable. He's the strongest in yardage. He's the best defensively. He can finish a try. He'll run for 150 metres every game.
He played
for
Australia. That's why he got chosen the Australian side last year. Like, he's also, how old is he?
24.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we got another good 6-7 years of him.
Yeah,
it's amazing. If he wants to go longer, he can. But you know, just being optimistic, yeah, 6 or 7 years.
Yeah. So, and then when I got to the end of the article, I realised that all five of those guys were New South Welshmen, and you can throw Will Penasini into that mix as well.
Yeah.
Are there any Queenslanders that come to mind then?
I'm big on Isaiah Tass, although he just had his pants pulled down by Stags last week. I think he's a really good player. He's a Queenslander.
That was a personal battle, though. Obviously, they were at the club together at the Broncos.
True.
They're both black fellas.
Yep.
Like, it's a personal battle between them. And that would have been spoken about, I'd say, on both counts, because Jace was obviously at the Broncos as well. Like, it would have been a really big challenge for both parties to get one up. And Tones gets this one.
Yep.
You know, maybe not get the next one, but that's just how it rolls in the game.
Do you reckon the hammer should just be placed in centre and stay there forever?
At Clubland?
Yeah.
Nah.
Do you reckon? Even next year when old mate from
Averillo?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good headache to have. I'd probably pick Hammer at fullback and I'd play Averillo in the centres. I mean, they're going to have Averillo and Farnworth.
Yeah, well, Farnworth's the other one, I suppose, isn't he?
That's probably going to be one of the best centres.
He's a Queen. He's basically a Queensland.
Yeah, we'll claim him.
Well, he's lived here.
Yeah.
He's lived in Queensland.
Wonder where Averillo's from. Is he Queensland or New South Wales?
I'd say he's from New South Wales.
I think he is a New South Welshman, yeah.
Yeah, the way he plays.
Never talked about it.
Seems to get it. So.
They never talked about it. Never talked about it.
And some boys, shut your lips. Some centres just get it.
Yeah, just get rugby league.
It's time for Fogg's Fast Five.
Fogg's Fast Five, but we're doing something a little bit different.
Yeah, a little bit different. I'm stealing a trend off TikTok this week, boys. We're going to play a game to test your rugby league knowledge.
Oh, no, I don't like this.
Yeah, so Rich, could you pull up the thing on the big screen.
Here we go. We've got one for reference in front.
You might have seen it on TikTok, boys.
I don't have TikTok.
Me either.
So it's a little general knowledge
game. Probably better.
Oscar v. Giral. So what you need to do there's a few squares here.
Yeah.
For the listeners, we've got Rabbitohs, Roosters, and Dally M medalists on the X.
Yep.
And then Tonga, Broncos, and the Titans on the Y. So you need to take turns naming a player that's played for both of those.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Wow.
So, Oscar, you've won less games at Suncorp than Giral, so you can start. If you get it wrong, it goes to the next person.
Okay, well, I'll start with the Bunnies. Tevita Totola.
For
Bunnies and Tonga.
Okay.
Yep. Wow.
There you go. Giral.
So where do I go now?
Wherever you want.
Choose any box.
Yeah. Except Tonga and the Rabbits is taken.
So I can go
pick a player who's Broncos and the Rabbitohs.
And the Rabbits.
Yeah. Do they have to be a current player? Or can it be any?
Do I have to go Rabbits
or I can go?
You can choose any. It's got to be intersect. So Rabbits, Bronx, Rabbits, Titans.
Or you can go like Roosters. Who's won a Dally M? Who's played for the Titans?
Well, Roosters, Broncos.
Yep.
Can I do that?
Yep.
Justin Hodges.
There you go.
Nice.
Yep. Nice.
See, for your first one, I would have picked Roy Asatasi for Tonga and South. That would have been a nice little. But I'm not playing because you know. Who cares what I have to say?
Oscar, your turn.
Roosters, Tonga, Daniel Tupou.
There you go.
Nice.
Well,
like that.
Titans, Dally M medal, Preston Campbell.
That counts.
Does he count?
You've done it.
He's won a Dally M and he's played for the Titans.
He's surely the only Dally M medalist that's played for the Titans, right?
I think
so. Did Scott Prince win one?
No, he didn't.
No. Okay.
No.
Yep, nice. All right.
Oh, gosh, this
Oscar,
is cool.
What have you got?
Rabbitohs, Titans, Jai Arrow.
Well done.
Like that.
The Dally M Tonga one's getting me.
What about James Roberts?
Broncos, Rabbitohs. I was going to say
Jimmy Roberts.
Yeah, James Roberts.
Rabbitohs, Titans.
Oh, I didn't realise you were playing.
I said
Broncos, Rabbitohs.
He's just dumb, mate.
Oh, you can do both.
Can you just pay attention to the game?
Oh, can you do both?
You're supposed to be hosting.
Jimmy the Jets played for all three of them.
Take that one then,
yeah.
He could have if he wanted to. He could do whatever he wants.
Of course, this is hectic.
So we've got Dally M and Tonga, Dally M and the Broncos, and Roosters Titans.
Ooh.
Roosters Titans.
Oh, Isaac Liu for Roosters Titans.
There you go. All right, Gerard, you've got Dally M and Tonga, Dally M Broncos, I think.
The Broncos one would be... It's definitely a Darren Lockett. He never won a Dally M.
Didn't have to happen at the same time. Like, he could have won a Dally M for a different club and then played for the Bronx.
Oh, okay. I know what you mean.
Yeah, yeah. They just had to have done both.
Oh, okay. Oh, this is... Did Alfie Langer win a Dally M?
He did.
Yeah.
He did.
Alan Langer,
Hold on. All right. And so,
did Wally Lewis win a Dally M?
I don't think he did. I think they started after he...
Yeah. Right, okay. All right.
And then, so Oscar, there's only one player that's played for Tonga and won the Dally
M. I know who it is.
Is it Tamalolo?
It is Tamalolo. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Well done.
I was like, who else?
Well, yes. This is awesome.
GGs. Yeah.
Well done. GGs, bro.
I found that one really
hard. You ruined it for us, though.
Yeah. We spoke about it earlier.
We're going to do that again.
Yeah, I like that.
Nice.
With all the stats, trends, and betting you need to know, this is The Offload.
Back to the bloody offload, and as always, we're going to start with bloody don't argue.
What's your language, Jarrah? Quite rude of you. We're going to start with... Talking like a sailor over here, my God. The team that had the biggest upset of the round was the Knights with their 8-point win over Melbourne. Yep. Going to give them a shout-out. I thought they'd be a higher price, but they're only $3.20 to beat the Storm at the end of the day. Ponga was huge for them, 191 metres, try assist and a few line breaks. Mm. I think the biggest hold we had on the Knights was about $500.
It was about $500.
Yeah.
Jesus.
If Reece Walsh was available for the Knights, would you have picked him?
Oh, here we go.
Jarrah, this is my segment.
Is this the hill you want to die on? Yeah. Yes, it is. Punters pals, who were they?
So the most consistent players coming up for the punters at the moment, Michaeli Ravaloa from the Dragons.
Yep.
He scored at least one try of five of St. George's last six matches.
Fijian Fires, man.
Could you imagine
being a winger on your line and he's flying and like just launches it? Like, how do you tackle that?
When I was in the sheds, and I'm sorry, when I was in the sheds at Dragons and he took his kit off.
Was it?
Come in my pants. I was like, you're a big, beautiful man. Yeah. Like, honestly, he's just like, he's just jacked.
Just so ripped.
And big, and his shoulders, like his chest. Mama.
Was Selwyn Cobbo also one of these? Let's move it along.
Yeah, Selwyn Cobbo was another pal of the punters. Selwyn has scored at least one try in each of Brisbane's last five night matches in Queensland. Bit of a stretch, but he can't stop scoring. And then your friend, boys, James Tedesco. Loves the Titans. Teddy has scored at least one try in six of his last seven games against the Titans.
Wow. Like that. Do you have any tips for round 22?
Got a few. Couple of good games this weekend. Broncos v Roosters. So Sydney has lost each of its last seven night matches. Five of Brisbane's last six home games have gone under the total match points line. So it's a shorter price than I normally tip here, but Broncos head-to-head under 43.5 at $2.35. Don't mind that at all.
All you can do is find a winner, isn't it?
That's it. Mm. You know, that's as the wise man once said to me. And then Melbourne Storm v Parramatta. So Melbourne has won each of its last five matches following a loss because Belzer normally puts a rocket up them. And four of the last five matches between Melbourne and Parra have gone under the total match points line. So two red-hot scoring teams, but you know, they could find each other out here. You can get Melbourne head to head and under 43.5 for $2.50.
Nice multi of those four legs.
Yeah,
that'd actually go really well.
Yeah.
What about if you're not first, you're last?
So, a couple of big try scorers in both the NRL and the NRLW. Mm-hmm. So, Egan Butcher was $41 anytime. Wow. Taylor Prettabon from the Newcastle Knights versus the Dragons was $41. Oof. Josh Alaie. Oshie Ole. He's $41 as well. And then Quincy Dodd from the Sharks was $67. First try scorer.
Ooh. Good Lord.
Yes.
The hospital passes are the massive bets that didn't get up. Lay them on us.
Couldn't find many this week. We had 20K on the New Zealand to cover the line, and they only won by a point.
Yep. Gross.
And then we had a 19K hold on the Melbourne Storm head-to-head, which didn't end well.
Obviously didn't go well either. And the incorrect groundings, the multis that fell one leg short.
Yep. This one was five legs, $5 into 38.4K.
No.
Oh, no.
Five try scorers in the Waz game. So we had Rapana, Dallin Wateni, Zalesniak, Murata Niokore, Chance, Nickel Klogstad, but just needed Sean Johnson.
Oh, my gosh. He almost went through the line, too. Oh, my gosh.
Sickening
stuff. I would have been planning everything.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what that means, but...
Me either.
6 weeks of the regular season to go. How are the futures markets?
Yeah, I'm keeping a close eye on the futures markets this close to finals. So the Panthers and Broncos have shortened ever so slightly. Panthers are $2.60 and the Broncos are now $4.50. The Rabbitohs are $6.50 out to $7.50 after that dismantling by the Brisbane Broncos. Storm are $6.50 out to $8.50 after their loss to the Knights. The Cowboys and Warriors were $13 last week. They're now $10 and $11 respectively. Mm-hmm. The Newcastle Knights have taken a huge plummet in the to make the eight market. So 2 weeks ago they were $19 and now they're just $4.50.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah.
To make the
what?
I don't know if I'd be taking that.
What the hell?
What about finally Don't Tell the Misso?
What did you say?
This week it was all about Oscar. Oscar was picking...
All about Oscar.
Show me the money.
Heap of anytime try scorers. Here was just a few of them to name a few. So I'll mention the only one I found. I found Reece Walsh at $3.30, but then Oscar found Peter Hicku at $3.35, Emma Tonegadu, as we talked about earlier, at $2.70, Scott Sorensen at $3.30, and then your good friend Ola Kawatu at $3.60.
Wow. Let's go!
And Jared, you also talked me into Manly very early in the week, and I put that into open groups, and that converted at $3.10. So thank you very much.
You're welcome, punters. And there was welcome almost. Ladies.
This one wasn't put in there, but
thanks, William Kennedy.
Oh yeah, let's talk
about not throwing the pass to get the Sharks the win.
Let's talk about. You had a decent win as well.
I did put a bet on over the weekend.
Yeah,
put 50 on
that?
Manly to win, Ola Kawatu anytime and Cola anytime, and I cleaned up with them. 1400.
You owe us a bit of coin as well, don't you? So.
Yes.
What do the punters have?
Yeah, I have one this week. I went and made an effort to write it down. So six legs, $10 into 4.2K.
Nice.
Yes.
Six try scorers. So he had Isaiah Tass, Campbell Graham, Adam Reynolds, Reece Walsh, Johnston and
Alex.
Alex Johnston. I should have written his first name down. And Selwyn Cobbo. Well done to you. Six
tries.
Well,
it wasn't Sean Johnson because we know it fell short in the other one.
Wasn't.
Huge.
There we go, boys.
The Neds NRL Punting Podcast Multi.
All right. Well, at least it wasn't the 11th time this season that we missed by one leg. Yeah. It was two legs last week. Gerald, is that Jesse better? Arthur, stay away from him. Stags, Cobbo.
Yeah, well, I mean, that just shows what I know and that I don't have any insight into that side anymore because they send a lot, they've been sending a lot of their traffic left. Mm. They have been. And then, I mean, they obviously seen a really good matchup with Tass.
Yeah.
And
retrospectively, perhaps he had one eye on the Lizzo set or something like that at Splendor in the Grass.
Pretty keen for King Gizzard, I think.
Yeah. Big King Gizzard. Yeah. And all right. Well, onwards and upwards, Liam, you're kicking us off this week.
Yeah, I'm just going to take the Broncos to win. I think they get that done against the Roosters. And we've got to pick our best of the week. I think the Broncos are my best this weekend.
$1.36 looks pretty That'll safe head-to-head. I'm second this week. Looking into the Raiders versus Knights game. Really interesting one after the Knights knocked off the Storm last week. But I think the Raiders coming back from that 1-point loss over in New Zealand back to a hometown, I think they might get there. I'm not confident in either head-to-head, but I thought the 44.5 points line was a little bit little, to be honest. I think we're going over that. And four of the last five Raiders games have gone over the total match points line as well. So I've taken over 44.5 points in that game. $1.90. Jarrell, your third.
Yeah, I've dipped into, obviously, Chez's 300th game. Mm. And I definitely think, I mean, just from watching the Dragons, I just don't think they're... They've got really nothing to play for. I mean, that probably makes them dangerous as well, but it is a big game for Daly. It is down there in Wollongong, but they're still fighting for a top eight position.
Absolutely.
And a big game for him, for Long Neck. So I believe what we've seen.
Brontosaurus Cherry Evans.
Oh, Ciro. Serious. His emoji, my friend, is a giraffe,
Cherry Evans.
If he gets a statue, do they give him like an extra long neck?
Like that Ronaldo statue. Yeah.
Jeez, that would be funny. Anyway,
peeking over all
I'm taking Manly.
Manly to win.
I'm taking Manly just to win, because
you were going to take 13 plus.
No, I was.
I wanted the juice.
Yeah, I wanted the juice as well, but it's $1.55. It's pretty juicy. I like $1.55 down there in Wollongong and 300 games for Chez.
It's hard not seeing the boys getting up for him in his 300th game and boy, the drama.
I mean, look, I'm 50-50 out of this because I tipped that the Dragons would win Maccas.
Yeah.
Then I tipped the Dragons would win Hunty. So, look, I'm running at 50%. So hopefully this will get me a bit more over the line.
Yeah, God, if the Sea Eagles don't win this, they're not making the finals.
Yeah, I'm glad I've got you on side as well.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Who would have thought, hey? And finally, Oscar, what are we doing?
Last game of the round, Cowboys v. Titans on Sunday afternoon. I've taken Cows to cover the line. I think it's 8 or 8.5 at the moment.
I thought that was really low for really them as favourites.
Yeah, I got on a couple of days ago. The Titans without Tino are a completely different prospect. Mm-hmm. They just don't have the yardage game, and we know Cowboys are missing Jeremiah and I, but that Finefi Uyaki's a bloody prospect, isn't he, out on that right edge? So I think they'll be fine. Yeah, getting $1.90.
They are just plummeting as well now, the Titans, aren't they? They love that at this time.
This one's going down to the wire then if you've taken the last Sunday game. It's going to be another nervy weekend for sure.
13 plus, baby.
But you're just taking 8. Yeah. $1.90, of course. Liam, Broncos to win $1.36. I've gone over 44.5 total match points in the Raiders Knights game. That's $1.90. Jarrell, Seagulls to win $1.55. And Oscar, Cows, favourites, 8-point line, $1.90. $8 we're going for four pretty conservative legs, in my opinion.
I'm on. Not I like it.
I'm on, yeah. Are you getting on, Jarrell?
Jarrell's over here, aren't you?
Not this weekend. No, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. Unless we're over $10, I'm not doing it. It's just...
Picked on him too much.
Chump change. Chump change, $8. I don't want that.
As always, that one is going to be built for you and available at neds.com.au or on the Neds app under NRL Round Specials. What are you going to do with it, Liam?
I'm going to throw it in open groups to all of our close personal punting friends in there, all 3,000 of them.
Huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're growing.
Yeah.
We are growing.
It's growing.
And we're showing.
It's the most engaged of the sport groups.
I'm not going to lie to you. I like getting in there and just seeing who gets sprayed and who not. And
it's always me. It's always me.
The poo emoji is starting to get quite a run in there, isn't it?
Yeah. All of my bets.
Boys, it is that time of the week, and let me kick it off this week. Just want to wish our good friend Liam here the best for the next 4 weeks because he's going to get married and he's not going to be on the show.
So you're not going to be here So it goes bad from worse for you.
Yeah.
You're leaving here and you're getting married.
Pretty much. But look, I'm doing it before my park cricket season starts. So, you know,
snuck that. Probably the important stuff.
Yeah, that's it. You know, Cooper will need me at the back end of the year. So we'll be all right, bud.
Have you gone in deep with, like, you're paying for all the drinks and everything for everyone?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
All right. Just and asking. Some people don't.
That'll be why we didn't
Some people have a cash bar, so I'm just...
No, Ned's open group tips are funding the whole wedding, I'm pretty sure.
You're welcome, punters.
Yeah. Well, the way that we went on that night out, you should have invited us, because Gerald just gets shouted bloody open bars.
Yeah, and you shout the kebabs.
Yeah, true. I'll take care of the food.
Open bar, dude.
Gerald, final thoughts.
My final thought is I just want to wish me long-necked friend a good 300 this. Like, these, it's incredible. And I've got to say it three times on this podcast about good close mates. But anyone who can play 300 games in this sport is pretty special. And I think if we've got kids that are playing like we spoke about, these centers that are playing in the game, they're 21, 22, 23, 24. It's going to become more and more apparent in the next, you know, 10 to 15 years. But I think with the older players, you know, we've only seen, what, how long has NRL been going? Like, I don't know, actually.
150? Oh,
over?
Sorry, NRL, yeah.
450. Yeah, so, I mean, to see 46, you know, become 47 over the weekend is going to be pretty special. So, wish him all the best and just can't wait for, you know, 6 weeks to go until finals, boys. Strap yourselves in. It's going to be a cracker.
Yeah.
Strapped on.
Love a strap on.
Well said. Love that.
Thank you.
You've ruined. Yeah. Okay. It doesn't matter.
Never ruin anything.
Oscar.
This weekend, we get to find out if it's Trelmit or Trelmith.
There it is.
Ugh. Shout out to my mate Kylan for sending me that every bloody day. But
nice, Kylan. Keep sending it to him, buddy.
We might do it as well.
Yes. So, yeah, go the Bunnies and go Trelmit.
Mm. Yeah, nice. Do you want to say anything about the cricket?
I wasn't going to, but I backed the draw for the second game in a row. And, you know, the weather's looked down on both my bets and the Australia's chances of returning.
What'd you take there? $4.50 or something?
$4.33 it was. So, nice. You know,
better than a slap in the face.
All you can do is back the winner. But, yeah, I've got 4 weeks off. I'm going to miss you fellas.
We're going to miss you too.
Yeah, so you can put up with Ryan for the next few weeks.
Yeah, and that outstanding mullet. Yeah.
Oh, and on that, actually, while we're talking about Australia, Matilda's got up for their first game as well. Great.
Without Sam Kerr. Yes.
And by the time this comes out, it'll be game day it'll be game on this Thursday coming.
Yep.
At Suncorp. At Brisbane Stadium. Yeah,
Brisbane Stadium.
Taking on Nigeria. Oh, need to win this.
On at Brisbane Stadium.
Need to win this one as well. So, yeah, go the Matildas.
All right, what are we calling this episode? Should we just call it Trelmit?
Trelmit?
Yeah. I think it's Trelmit. Oh,
lock it in, like Eddie.
Something with Piers Morgan. Yeah. See if we can flush it out.
Tears Morgan.
Tears Morgan. Trelmit and Tears Morgan.
That'll do me.
Thanks for listening to it, punters. Enjoy the footy and the plethora of Australian sport this week.
Oh, my God, yeah.
If you're having a bet, always remember to gamble responsibly.
Thanks for listening to the Neds NRL Punting Podcast. Remember to like, subscribe, and leave us a review wherever you get your podcasts.
What are you really gambling with? For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.